Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining part three of our Simplified Access series. We're going to discuss evolving drug distribution channels. I'm again joined by Tedra Gray, nurse practitioner at Sinai Chicago and a member of GAP, and Jeff Dunn, pharmacist at PMN, and he's been in managed care for 25 years.
Yes, thank you, Allison. So yeah, I have a couple questions for each of you. And the first question would be, what steps are you taking to adapt to new distribution mandates like bagging, so either white or brown or whatever, quote unquote, bagging infusion drugs?
Great question, Jeff. Currently, as the nurse practitioner clinician within our office, in this specific area, this is when I lean heavily on our specialty pharmacy liaisons to assist in this matter. It's critical to know when it's appropriate to pass the baton, and we lean heavily on them in this critical area because, from what I understand, we currently are not handling any bagging or infusion drugs, and that this only happens when the medical side of the coverage is not available for the infusions. So we tend to look for our prior authorizations to get approved through the pharmacy benefit through our institution and then have it filled that in that format, and it would be bagged and white gloved and delivered to our infusion center.
Yeah, I agree with Tedra. I think forming a close relationship with specialty pharmacies is essential in this case and in many others, just to ensure that we're streamlining the process and addressing any issues to avoid delays.
Great, thank you. Next question is, how has the shift toward hospital-based specialty pharmacies affected your ability to provide care for your patients?
So I'm very fortunate to have a wonderful specialty pharmacy and pharmacist at my institution who I have a close working relationship, and that's been invaluable to mitigating challenges. I'm able to get timely answers and collaborate with a dedicated team rather than waiting on hold over the phone or having to explain the situation to a new representative each time I call in. This consistency allows us to resolve issues quickly, ensures that patients receive the care they need without unnecessarily delays. Also, our pharmacists can provide comprehensive support services such as benefit verification and prior authorization assistance, which can ease some of our administrative burdens.
I would agree with Allison. I think our hospital-based specialty pharmacists have been definitely a gem to continuing to allow us to provide excellent patient care. They have been extremely accessible. They have been extremely reliable and really bridging the gap from the perspective of keeping the patients up to date and handling all of the footwork that is required in order to ensure that the patient gets drug access and drug in hand in order for us to treat our most challenging cases.
Great, thank you. So we're seeing more and more limited distribution drugs, either as specified by pharmaceutical companies where they only go through a couple of different SPs, or as we've been talking about, payer programs that mandate drugs being filled under the pharmacy benefit via SPs instead of buy and bill. So given all of that, how have you navigated this to ensure that your patients receive their treatments without delay?
Yeah, I think proactive communication and planning is key. We work closely with the designated specialty pharmacy to ensure that all documentation is submitted promptly and that all the details are included. For urgent cases, I personally will escalate the issues to the pharmacy or the payer to expedite processing. I also work with my local pharmaceutical representatives, educating, you know, that's key in educating the patient as well as the staff. When you work with the patient, you keep them informed about the process. That helps to manage their expectation and avoid any unnecessary anxiety. And finally, we explore alternative solutions like bridging therapy if delays are unavoidable to ensure that the patient's not left without treatment.
I guess an excellent answer, Allison, and I definitely agree. I think communication is key, and it's important that we, when we work within our specialty pharmacy group and within our processes of ensuring that the distribution is not impacted, it's communicating with the providers, communicating with the patient, and ensuring that the delivery date is not delayed too much in order for the patient to experience a setback.
And I have a few questions for you, Jeff. How have drug distribution pathways evolved from payers' perspectives, and why are we seeing an increase in bagging requirements for infusion drugs?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. As I mentioned back in part one of this series, we've seen a significant increase in drug pricing in this country over the last 3 or 4 years. But if you look back historically over the last 20, about every 4 or 5 years, we see a doubling in drug cost. And so I don't know if that's a sustainable model, but the answer to this question is really cyclical. When I first started in this about 20, 25 years ago, most of the fee schedules under the medical benefit were percent of bill charges. So if you looked at oncology drugs or even drugs like infliximab, the majority of the cost was around actually paying for the infusion and not the drug itself. And so a physician could literally submit for an infliximab infusion $1 million tap, and we'd have to pay a percentage of that. So over time, as contracts were renewed, a lot of that was addressed, and we actually saw a lot of this focus on bagging and channel management kind of go away. But now we're seeing it come back a little bit more, again, going back to the rising cost of drugs. And so if we're talking about $500,000 a year drug, then, you know, we want to pay for the drug and not another $500,000 simply to infuse it. So it really comes down to, the cost of the drug and the most cost effective channel. And it doesn't make sense to me that we're paying 6 times more for a drug if it's infused under the medical benefit rather than paying for it via SP under the pharmacy benefit. So end of the day, we really want to pay for your expertise and the clinical determination on which drug and when, and not have to pay for an exorbitant amount of money just for having it infused. So my goal is, and my hope is, that in the future, you know, as we break down some silos and we can talk about shared risk and new models, that a lot of this will go away and that we can really drive towards value and drive towards shared decision-making and make decisions based on the most cost-effective medication and not how much somebody can make by infusing one drug over another.
Thank you. How do payers and hospitals collaborate to negotiate drug prices with manufacturers, and what should APPs be aware of when these negotiations impact patient access?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would say, I don't know if there's a lot of collaboration between payers and hospitals right now. Even within integrated delivery networks, those are typically different review processes, different formularies, different budgets. If you look at how drugs are acquired and paid for inpatient, they're usually via GPOs and discounts are upfront. If you look at outpatient, a lot of those discounts are negotiated via rebates. And again, those are, you know, very different processes and different budgets and different financial flows. And there's not a good collaboration between those two different stakeholders. There is some collaboration around 340B. So we're seeing a lot more directing of prescription based on, you know, is it more cost effective to use a rebate and go one way, or is it more cost effective to use 340B and go another way? So I think that's an opportunity for more collaboration in the future. But it also requires some collaboration with pharmaceutical companies within that. So we've got to, again, break down our silos and have better communication and collaboration, with the different stakeholders. Because if you look at my comment earlier about value, we probably all define value very differently. So we, end of the day, we're trying to do the same thing, but we're in our own silos. We're trying to deliver cost-effective medication, do the right thing clinically, and do it in an affordable manner so people can have access to medications. Soapbox items are affordability and accessibility. And the way we're heading right now in this country with healthcare is that's not sustainable. So we have to have better collaboration and better shared risk and break down some of these silos. But, end of the day, right now, if we sit in our silos and we continue to do what's best without looking across the spectrum and involve different stakeholders, is probably going to end up hurting our patients long-term. So we need to have better conversations.
Okay. Thank you for that, Jeff. And thank you to both of you, Tedra and Jeff, for joining me today. And thank you all for listening. And that concludes the final episode of our 3-part series. You can find episode 1 and 2 on our GAP Digital Hub.